and whether or not they want to meet our Christ. And that includes a lot of relationships, folks very close and some more distant. We'll be talking about marriage primarily today, but when you hear about marriage, be thinking, well, how does this relate to my relationships, my work relationships, my children, my parents, my brothers and sisters? Be thinking, well, how is my relationship? And does it reflect well on my Lord? Well on my witness for Jesus Christ as my Savior. Coming up will be Bob Ann. I'm introducing you to my wife. Woo-hoo! My tongue is getting straight. She's been my wife for 59 years. She is my joy, and we are best friends. I have some good friends, but nothing like Bob Ann. She chose me before we were married just to be her best friend. She's not only my best friend, she's also my only lover. She's also my number one Christian ministry. I take my relationship with her very important. And she's also my champion, my number one champion. And I was talking to Ben Kading at lunch Wednesday of this week, and I mentioned this thing about her being my number one champion. He wasn't really sure what that looked like in a relationship of husband and wife. So if you don't get around to the questions that'll be shown up here later on that we are to talk at the table about, think about this question. What does it look like for someone to be the champion of a spouse or a really good friend or a girlfriend? What is a champion? Feel free to talk about it. If we are happy, what you see there is what I see a lot every day. And she hasn't always been that smiley. You'll see later on a picture of Bob Ann and me at our wedding. She was really smiling then, and she's really smiling now. In between the sandwich part, you know, the meat kind of got sort of nasty in that sandwich. But the beginning and the end is a good story. We can all accomplish this heavily dependent upon our God. Let me give you an example of the kind of things that we've done together. We have hiked together. It happened to be on Mother's Day. We were going to the mountains of Arkansas, and because we got lost, we've ever called that the Mother's Day Massacre. Bob Ann had never, ever before backpacked, and she never has backpacked again. Also, we have sailed in the ocean and in area lakes. We sailed in Belize and the Virgin Islands and the Bahamas and so on. We typically do things just together, kind of a me, Tarzan, she, Jane kind of a thing. You know, it's very cool. And so the image I have of that is we're sailing, and of course, I'm at the wheel of the sailboat. And she's up there on the bow, standing by, looking like a bronze statue, wearing a bikini, and she is doing this. I mean, she's like the lady on the Titanic, you know, just up there. Great. And she's going like this and like that, sometimes like that. Well, the water in Belize is clear water. It takes the form of a light, pale turquoise color. It's very deep, very clear. When you're sailing, you can see objects on the bottom. And the thing you need to avoid are reefs, coral reefs, because a coral reef can tear the bottom out of your sailboat if you hit it. In fact, the sailboat we were on, it had hit one right before we chartered it. Then, though, the motorcycle, there we are. Now, I don't want you to get the idea, because everyone assumes there's only one motorcycle, which is a Harley Davidson, right? Well, we did not own Harley Davidsons. Harley Davidsons are really basically sort of antique farm implements. So we always had Italian, German, and Japanese motorcycles. And they're built to go fast. So we did. But this particular picture is on the Grand Staircase in Utah. The trip is 2,500 miles. She rides behind me. And at the helm. She's my passenger. Okay? Like it that way. So one of the stories I'll tell you is we were driving in Arkansas. You know, we were buying a timber truck. It was going too slow. Arkansas is very curvy, kind of like Bob Band is. And so I got tired of being, he was going about 45 miles per hour. I got tired of being back there. And so I just dropped down to second gear and hit it hard. And when I passed that driver's door, because there was a car coming over the next hill, when I passed him, I was going 105 miles per hour and I hit fifth. Boy, we were, and boy, it was fun. Just imagine. And Bob Ann at dinner that night, she told the people that we were riding with, she said, "We went 300 miles per hour today." And one guy at the table said, "I was behind you. I saw that." And someone said, "Well, how'd you feel about it?" She said, "I felt like I had a boot on my chest." You know, the acceleration on a motorcycle is so great that the G-forces are so great that your eyebrows form a ponytail behind the back of your head. And that's, you can only experience it if you've been doing it. And it is a thrill. I defy a red-blooded American man not to do the throttle like this. But so she still had some great experiences together. And I was so happy. But our daughters went to college, had a freshman and a sophomore, and we were empty nesters for the first time. Lance is an empty nester for the first time right now. And so I was really tuned in. I'm an enlightened husband. I really pay attention. I read books about how it affects wives who lose their last child to to college. And so I asked her, because I was so enlightened, I said, "Bob, man, is there, at breakfast table, is there something bothering you?" And she said, I don't think so. And I said, "Well, why don't you think about it? And tonight when I come home from work, we can sit in the back porch and talk about it." She said, "Okay." And we did. So I asked her, when we were sitting out there peacefully, having a nice meal, said, "Did you figure out what was bothering you?" And she said, "Yes, I think I figured it out. You've been dominating me our entire marriage." Now remember what I said about her. My best friend, my number one ministry, my only lover, just my number one champion. And she says, "You've been dominating me our whole marriage." Well, that was a terrible shock. So we talked about it for about an hour, and we realized, and we did actually, we actually did talk. We didn't actually yell at each other. We talked, because this was a new ground, and we didn't know where we were standing, and we never got much. An hour of adult conversation, and we finally said, well, since we can't figure it out, because she was saying things, complaining about things that I had been doing for 24 years. And I thought we were happily married. What happened in my heart when I heard her just repeatedly over and over telling me these stories where I had dominated her, as I kind of collapsed inside, I thought, there's only one explanation for this sudden emotions I'm seeing. Her face was tight, lines in her face, her voice was wavering, her eyes were rimmed and red, and I was scared. And I thought, I think she's fallen out of love with me. And when you start thinking, going down that road, you say, I wonder if she's having an affair. It was that serious. Caught me completely flat-footed. So we went to see a counselor. I'm enlightened husband. Are you impressed, Pete? Yeah. And so I said, why don't we get a counselor? And she said, she was hesitant because I had introduced the topic, because I had a pattern of manipulation, a pattern of selling, promoting things that I thought were good ideas. You never would have guessed that. And so she agreed to it like she had agreed to the other things I had done. And the counselor met with us a couple of weeks. At the end of the second week, he said, your daughters are coming home from college next week. Why don't you bring them in to talk among us? And so they came. See, after a while, he asked them, have you ever seen your father dominate your mother? And together, they replied, our whole lives. So I couldn't weasel out of that one. It was 3-1. I still think of this as being Beat Daddy Day. Still do. But on the other hand, the witnesses were against me. I had to listen closely to what they had to say. So and in terms of the daughters, it's always collateral damage to a bad relationship. I just said it, bad relationship. I thought it was good, but it wasn't. And I wrote down here, this week, one line here. I wasn't thinking about it, but I wrote down, I was crushed. And then I wrote down, but I had been crushing her for 24 years. But the key there is that the first thing I thought of and the first thing I wrote down was, I was crushed. I was still thinking about me. Okay, you guys are next to heaven, I think, most of you. There are a couple of exceptions. And I would like to ask this side of the room, do any of you all know Ephesians 5:25? No one knows Ephesians 5:25? Really? Oh, Jerry, would you say that more loudly so they can hear you back way over in that corner?
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church.
And gave himself for her. And he gave himself for her. Somewhere on this side of the room, does anyone here know 5:25 well enough that they have can recite it to if they have it memorized? Ephesians 5:25. Well, so in case you didn't hear, Jerry, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And that was his tremendous gift to us. His tremendous sacrifice for us. I'd like for you to be thinking as you hear these things that I'm saying, what does it look like for a husband to love his wife the way Christ loved the church. That's the calling we have. So, the next stage is about my ownership, which I had avoided for 24 years. I had to own what I knew. I knew what I was supposed to be doing. I knew what they said that I had been doing, which was really way here, and I had failed. I had failed Bob Ann. I really had failed our daughters, and I never had thought about that until I was preparing this. They grew up looking at a model of father and wife where the father dominated the mother. That's all they knew. And I realized they were likely or could possibly end up choosing a man for their husband that had the same abilities and the same impulses. So I had hurt them, and I had failed God. So some of you all out, I don't think all of you out there are thinking this, but some of you are thinking, come on, Bob. You're really overstating this. You really need to get over yourself. There are jerks out there than you are. Really, Bob, there are bigger jerks out there than you are. And some of you who are righteous people are saying, well, we all fall short of the glory of God, miss the mark, and get over it. And some of them might be saying, well, Bob, all men are dumber than stumps. So just cool your jets on this thing. This is not important. And if you are among those who are defending me in this story, I wonder if you're really not defending yourselves. Are there bigger jerks than you out there so you don't have to be so guilty about something? I don't know. So I asked the question, are you taking your wife seriously? And when she's sitting across the table from you and she is crying, is it hurting you and you're kind of crying inside yourself? If you're not, you might need to be thinking about your role as a husband. So there is a country song that kind of lays out this general situation, this attitude, and let's see if I can remember it. We're just good old boys making noise. I ain't running around on you. Just give me one last chance. It's the least that I can do. Just good old boys making noise. I ain't running around on you. Just give me one last chance. It's the least I can do. Well, gentlemen, I was doing the least I could do. Some areas I was doing better than that. Other areas I was giving it my least. Bob Mann, we used to have a ranch in East Texas. We'd drive by this little town called Edgewood. They had these great peach stands by the road for 15 years. She wanted me to stop at that peach stand to buy some peaches on the way to East Texas. Sunday coming back, she wanted me to stop at the peach stand. And I said no each time. And I had an excuse. I didn't just say no. I said, you know, the sun is going to be coming right in our eyes as we head west to Dallas at 5 o'clock. And we really need to get home before that sun hits that level. I can't remember my excuse as we were going to East Texas and the sun wasn't in my eyes. And she just accepted it. So, day of my wedding. Here we go. Now, that's Bob Ann. And the guy on her left, beaming, that would be me. And one thing I don't want you to miss, it's probably a very small thing, but look at her left hand. It's draped over my jacket, and her left hand is touching my skin on the back of my hand. She's not even thinking about that. And look at her face. She's not saying, ah, queen for a day, my wedding. She's not saying I was victorious in nabbing this guy. That's the face of a young woman who's joined with her best friend. And she is feeling happy. She's feeling secured. She's feeling protected. She's feeling loved. Now glance back again to year 24. Sitting down together, her face is contorted. Her eyes are rimmed. Her voice was shaking. How did I get there? So I'm going to read you now, and you can read it with me, 1 Peter 3:7. Can you see that? You husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. I guess that means listening. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Boy, she and I are going to spend somehow eternity together. She's a fellow heir of the grace of life. She's a very special purpose. God called me for that purpose. And I should treat her as an honored heir in the grace of life. The challenge is that I'll read you now is the Living Bible. It's excerpts out of chapter 12. I was told by my friend down there that this week, put some Hebrews 12 in there. So I'll read it to you. Since we have such a large crowd of men, we, each of you, have a host of people watching you all the time. Watching you at home, watching you when you're out at meals with the family, watching when you're at work, watching how you treat your subordinates, how you treat your competitors. There's a host of people watching you. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. Take a new grip with your tired hands. Stand firm on your shaky legs. My legs are shaky right now. I'll be holding on to that rail going down. Mark out a straight, smooth path for your feet so that those who follow you... Oh, we had a host of people watching you. Now we have a few people following you. So those who follow you will not fall and hurt themselves, but become strong. Who are your followers? Just kind of think through your mind. Who's watching you so closely that they have chosen or they've been made to be your followers? Are you conducting the way you love people in a way that they will want to follow you and they will want to follow your Lord? So here's the change. I had the image. I had some of these verses. In fact, I already knew Ephesians 5:25 when I was making those mistakes. And I really tried to change. I tried to be very sensitive to her, and I kept falling short. I just didn't have what it took to be consistent in the way I treated her, the way Christ loved the church. So finally, in desperation, I threw myself at the feet of the Holy Spirit and cried out, help me, help me. I can't tell you how many times I prayed that. And I prayed, and I continue to pray to this day, all these years later. My prayer about Bob Ann is that God change me. I have never asked God to change her because I'm the guy who's responsible. And I can only look after my problems. She'll have to deal with God with hers. And each time we've had an argument or I've had my feelings hurt and I've withdrawn, after about 3 days, standing here as an elder acknowledging to you, it takes me 3 days to get over being hurt. I should think of it like that, and I should pray it right there immediately. But when I prayed, it goes away. Again, I'm only praying for myself, not that God change her. So, question. What do your relationships say about your relationship with your Savior? Do they invite people to you? Do they invite people to Him? Think about your relationships. What's the collateral damage? Are people drawn to your Lord? Start now. Don't wait 24 years. For God's sake, don't wait. Thank you, ma'am. There'll be some questions up here on the board. You can ask the discuss among your table the thing about what does a champion look like? Or you can answer these questions on the board. Thank you.